Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in. Good morning again. We are diving this morning into week 4 of a message series called Step Up. We had a little interruption last week. We made some room in the series for our man, Rob Morris. So this is the wrap up. This is week 4 in a message series called Step Up. We're talking about serving. We're talking about stepping out of our comfort zone to serve others. And our example for this, obviously, is Jesus Christ. And we talked, if you were with us in weeks 1 and 2, if you weren't here, just a quick kind of review for you, or a recap. Jesus Christ at the Last Supper actually washed the feet of his disciples. This was a profoundly awkward moment. Now, I know if you're new to church, if you're new to our church, and you've never heard this story before, you're like, what on earth? In the first century, that actually was not that uncommon. It would be very normal. If you had guests over for dinner, it would be very normal for you to have a servant at the door to rinse off people's feet. That was because everyone wore sandals. It was because the arid was dry and dusty. And it was because people sat at low tables, reclined near each other, so they were simply just in closer physical proximity to each other's feet than we would be when we were eating a meal at a high table. So it would be normal for there to be a servant there to rinse everybody's feet before dinner. It's just part of a cultural thing for them that was just totally within the bounds, not just of normalcy, but it would be expected. So at the Last Supper, Jesus has made the arrangements. Jesus has provided the room, and he's provided the food, and they're all gathered together, but Jesus didn't provide a servant. So there's this terribly awkward tension in the air among them as they're going to sit down with unrinsed feet. I know how weird that is for you and I to hear, but for them, this was just weird. But nobody wants to step up. None of the 12 step up. Nobody says, you know what, guys, don't worry about it. I got it. Let me handle that. Let me take care of it. Nobody does it. And finally, it's Jesus. Finally, Jesus Christ himself, their leader, their master, their rabbi, kneels down and takes off his shirt and wraps a towel around his waist and washes the feet of all of his disciples. And this was not something that passed quickly. This took a while, and it was awkward. And then when it was all done, Jesus sat back down and said, as I have done for you, so you are to do for one another. That calling is still on our lives. Now, if you're new, don't get nervous. We don't need to physically wash anybody's feet. That's not something that we do nowadays, and I'm sure most of us are pretty grateful for that. But there is a transferable principle that we take from that story, which is we're called to step up and serve. We're called to step up and be the one to say, I'm not going to wait for somebody else to take care of me. I'm going to be the one to step up and be a blessing to others. And what we find in the scriptures is that when we do, we graduate. We graduate to another level, right? There's a lot of, last couple weeks on social media, everyone's talking about graduations. You've all seen the different makeshift graduation ceremonies that have happened. People are having drive-up graduation ceremonies can I just tee up and do a little aside here? I don't know what everyone's so upset about. Everywhere I'm looking the last couple weeks, it's just been like, oh, I can't believe there's no ceremony. I can't believe they're not allowed. I can't believe, if I was in school and I was graduating, I would be rejoicing right now. Every graduation ceremony I have ever been a part of in my life, throughout my life, all I could think was, this is lame. When is this over? Like, it was just something I had to sit through and endure. Even when I was attending graduation ceremonies for my children, I was thinking, I'm really proud of my kids, but this is lame, and when is this over? So for those of you who are upset about not having to sit through long graduation ceremonies in the hot sun, listening to random school officials pontificate about the school year. I don't know what you're complaining about. You guys never had it better. There it is. That's just my little aside. Anyway, everyone's talking now about graduating, and what we find in the scripture is that when we step up to serve, we graduate. We graduate from a self-centered lifestyle to an others-centered lifestyle. We graduate from being all about us to being all about God and others. So we've asked you guys to dive in. We've asked you guys to find places where you can be outward bound, where you can be others-centered. And we did that knowing that if you do, you're gonna love it. Because there is no feeling in the world like the feeling you get when you're partnering with God. There's no feeling in the world that you get like the feeling you get when you know that you and God are on the same team working for the redemption of humanity. You can live your life all about you, and you can live your life just expecting and waiting for other people to serve you, or you can get in the game and step up and partner with God in what he is doing in being a blessing to the world around you. So, there are many different organizations that need volunteers. There's tons of places out there where you could pitch in. And if you're struggling with that, our church is certainly one of them. As we prepare for gathering again, and guys, I know some of you, we got a ton of email regarding our announcement about the timing of our reopening. We got tons of email saying, hey, good idea to pause. We also got a bunch of email from some of you who were ticked, and we're like, you know, we want to come back to church right now. Loved ones, you got to hear me on this. I know, I get it. There's conflicting data on both sides, and we're doing the very best we can with it. Nobody wants to reopen more than I do, but I got to let you guys know I stand behind and with the decision of our management team. We'll get the doors open just as quick as we can. When we do, we're going to need a ton of volunteers to step up and help us get this place ready. We're also going to need a bunch of community group leaders. So we've invited you last week into that story. If you have interest in being a volunteer at our church or jumping in to lead or co-lead a community group, hit the comment section. There'll be a couple of links over there for you to click if you'd like some more info. And if you're on the fence about this, conduct for yourself a little experiment. If you're on the fence, once we're able to come back to church, conduct a little experiment for yourself. Here's why I'm so confident in inviting you to be a volunteer. Here's why I'm so confident in my invitation to you to step up and play a part in God's story. Conduct this little experiment and you'll see what I mean. Take two Sundays and spend them differently at church. Take the first Sunday and come to church purely through selfish lenses. Yeah? Take one Sunday, come to church, try to get the best seat for you, try to get the best bagel that you would like, try to get the best parking spot that you can get for you. Evaluate the service through the lenses of what you like. Critique the service based on whether or not you like those songs, or whether whoever's leading worship is your particular favorite worship leader, and critique the message based on how entertaining it was for you, and spend one Sunday coming to church through the lenses of what you like and what you prefer, and then take Sunday number two and come to church to serve. Take Sunday number two and say, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to find a way to honor God and love others and serve all at church. I'm going to help somebody else get a seat. I'm going to help somebody else get a parking spot. I'm going to help somebody else get a bagel. And whatever happens as part of the service, I'm just going to praise God. I don't have to ask. It's not a question in my mind. You will love Sunday number two so much better. You will have such a better time. You will enjoy. This is the irony of it. This is the Jesus logic. This is where it gets flipped. The pyramid comes upside down, right? It's downward mobility. I know you'll enjoy Sunday number two so much more because you will have partnered with God in his plan. You will be living an outward bound life. You'll feel like you're part of something. And you'll never forget that feeling. it'll feel so much better than if you just, and that microcosm, that little two Sunday experiment, that works in all of life. You try that at work, you try that with your family, you try that in your social interactions, wherever you go and whoever you touch and whoever you come in contact with. We're called to step up and serve. Now, the tricky part is sometimes we're called to serve those who we don't particularly like. Listen to this. This is from Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends his rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. So it's as if God has called us to a conspiracy of kindness. God's called us to a conspiracy of kindness. And when you're kind to others, the more different they are from you, the further away they are from you ideologically, religiously, politically, financially, the further away the person is from you, the more conspiratorial the feeling. We're called, follow me now, follow me, church. We're called to love our enemies. We're called to serve even those who might betray us. We're called to step up and be kind even to those who don't deserve it. We're called to love our enemies, to love them. So some of you are asking, well, what if they're different than me? Like, some of you, what might be coming up right now in you is, well, what if they're on the other side of an ideological spectrum from me? What if they're on the other side of the canyon? Yeah? What if they're a Democrat and I'm a Republican? What if they're, what if they're Catholic and I'm Protestant? What if they're gay and I'm straight? What if they're Black Lives Matter and I'm All Lives Matter? What if they're, I mean, just pick a divide. There are so many different things like dividing our country right now. What if this person that I come across is on the other side of a divide? God is calling you. Listen now, because this is big. He's calling you not to just tolerate that person, but to love them. To love them. What does that look like for you? What does it look like to love your enemy? Now, that person on the other side of the ideological divide, that's not your enemy. I hope you know that. But you might not know that because everyone's making everybody out to be their enemy right now. And I'm trying to sort of tune it out, but it's very difficult to tune out the level of noise that's happening on social media right now. Yeah? Everyone's kind of shouting at each other. Have you noticed? It's just this vitriolic shouting match. This group posts this really super sarcastic comment or this really super sarcastic meme that makes that tries to make the other side look like they're all a bunch of idiots. And then this side produces a bunch of facts that try to make these guys look like idiots. And then these guys counter the facts, and it's just back and forth. No one's having any meaningful conversation. Everyone's just shouting at each other, coming up over the top of each other, shouting and shouting and shouting. And that is not the way of Jesus. There it is. So let me get up in your face for a minute, church. I'm going to get it. Some of you, I'm sorry. I'm just going to offend a couple of you. About to get up in your grill. You're not doing any good in the world with those posts. The summation of all of your clever posting, the summation of all that thinly veiled passive aggression, the summation of all that like vitriolic stuff that you're pouring out into the internet and into the world, you've never changed one person's mind. There has never been a person of one ideology that saw a meme and went, wow, oh my gosh, I see the world. It just doesn't work like that. So what changes it? What changes the world we live in? How do we figure this out? How do we survive? What do? We kneel down and we serve. Nothing quiets the conversation like love. It's undeniable. That's what we're called to. That's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. Someone who would love and serve, be kind to those on the other side of the ideological spectrum. To follow God into this, to do as he's called us to do, to follow Jesus in this motion of loving others and serving others, not just tolerating them. Listen to this. This is John chapter 13, verse 34. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Love one another. You want to prove that you're my disciples? You want to show the world whose side you're on? You don't pull that off with a bumper sticker. You don't pull that off with a post on Facebook. You don't pull that off by trying to push forward your ideology. You mark yourself as belonging to Jesus Christ by the way that you love others. That's what we're called to. And why? Do we do this? Are we called to love others so that we might earn God's love? Are we called to love everybody else so that we, you know, is it our posture to go, okay, God, I serve this person, or is that good? You know, I love this person, and they're really like, they're really on the other side of the thing, and I was good to them. Are we cool now? Have I loved others enough to earn your favor? Have I loved others enough to earn your forgiveness? Have I loved others enough to earn your approval? Have I loved others enough to earn your affection? Have I done enough now that I might somehow qualify for your love? That's not how it works. We are called to love others not in an effort to earn God's love. We are called to love others in response to God's love freely given to us, even when we were on the other side of the chasm, while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. And that's how the world will know that we belong to him. Not by how we are right. Jesus didn't call you into the world. Jesus never called you and said, go out in the world and be right. Make sure everybody gets it right. Make sure you convert everybody to your point of view. No. No. It's not what we're called to. We're called to serve. We're called to love others, even our enemies, even those we disagree with. And boy, oh boy, do I know that that's tough homework. But that's the standard. That's who we follow. Last verses, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. You are the salt of the earth. What good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Salt and light is the analogy. You're the salt of the earth. You know what salt does? It makes people thirsty. Our lives are supposed to make other people thirsty for what we have. And you don't pull that off in a shouting match. You pull that off by loving others, serving others, living an outward bound life, swimming upstream in a world relentlessly and unapologetically self-centered, swimming upstream and saying, my life is about others. I'm going to honor God and love others and serve all. I will live an outward bound life in this place. That's the kind of life that makes other people thirsty for what you have. Light, you are the light of the world. In another passage, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So we've got Jesus is the light of the world. We are the light of the world. What Jesus is saying is you reflect me to the world. And that doesn't come in the form of a spotlight, this blaring, like loud, obnoxious light that people are trying to, that people want to wield on social media and in their interactions in their echo chambers. The light Jesus describes is a lamp, something where in the darkness it shines and it helps people find their way. Team, the world is dark. The world has never before needed people who will honor God and love others and serve all like it needs them now. The world has never needed believers who will follow the way of Jesus more than it needs them right now. So we're asking you to get in the game, to honor God and love others wherever you are, to step up wherever you are, to love those who are across the chasm from you, and to find a way to pitch in, to step up and volunteer and serve someplace. Truth is, team, I'm here today, I'm a believer today because of a bunch of people in a small church in Staten Island decades ago when I was a teenager. This tiny little church, there was just a bunch of young adults who weren't all about themselves. They weren't thinking, what can I do for fun on a Friday night? They were serving God, running a little volunteer youth group where I came to faith because they were in the game. What could God do with you if you were in? What could God do with you if you would step up? Follow in the footsteps of Jesus and serve. It could be spectacular. And whatever the tangible, demonstrable results might be from that, I promise you, you'll have a much better ride. You'll have a much more enjoyable life. You'll have a much more like destined and switched on and on fire life if you're living outward bound. So our challenge to you, find a place and step up. With that, I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunities you've given us to step up, to serve, to put ourselves last, to follow in your footsteps and be a part. Father, to play on your team as you do the redemptive work that you're doing in our church, in our towns, in our cities, and in the world. Help us, Father, to play the part that you've given us to play and give us courage enough to step up and follow. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.